Welcome to Civil Discourse, a public affairs program of Gila Mimbres Community Radio. I'm your host, Jamie Newton. This special edition of Civil Discourse is a candidates' roundtable for candidates seeking their party's nomination in the June 3rd primary election. My guests are all three candidates for the office of magistrate judge and the one candidate for re-election as probate judge. Nick Seibel, publisher and general manager of the Silver City Daily Press, is with me to ask questions of the candidates. At the outset, I'll invite the candidates to give 3 to 5 minute opening statements on their background, their motivation for seeking public office, and goals they hope to accomplish should they be elected. Next, we'll have a question and answer period with discussion. And to conclude the program, I'll invite each candidate to give a closing statement about 2 minutes long. We're broadcasting this candidates' roundtable live on Tuesday, May 20th, 2014. The program will be rebroadcast periodically until the election on June 3rd, and it will be available by podcast at www.gmcr.org. Now I'd like to welcome my guests. With us here in the studio are Maureen Laney, who is currently Magistrate Judge in Division 1. Welcome, Maureen Laney.
Thank you very much, and thank you for this opportunity to be heard. I'm Maureen Laney. I'm currently the...
Please don't start yet. I'm going to welcome everyone, and we'll come back to you. That's enthusiasm.
That is very much enthusiasm, and we'll strike that last statement.
But we may hear it again. And with us also is Lonnie Sandoval, who is a Democrat seeking the position of Magistrate Judge in Division 2. Welcome, Lonnie Sandoval.
Thank you very much for having us here.
Also seeking, in this case, re-election as Magistrate Judge Division 2 is Hector Grijalva, also a Democrat.
Yes, sir.
Welcome. And we have seeking re-election our probate judge, Velia Miranda, a Democrat.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. And I also want to welcome Nick Seibel, publisher and general manager of the Silver City Daily Press, a former member of the Silver City Town Council. He will be our principal questioner and discussant at this roundtable. Thanks for being with us. And thanks also to our studio engineer, Kyle Johnson. Now, candidates, this is the time for a 3 to 5 minute opening statement. In the order to which I welcome you to this roundtable, we will begin with Maureen Laney, sitting judge in Division 1, and I'd like you each to tell, when it's your turn, what you think is important about your background, your life history, who you are as a person, why you're seeking office, and what main goals you hope to accomplish if you're elected. Maureen Laney.
Thank you again. I am a lifelong resident of Grant County. I was born and raised in Baird, New Mexico, and I currently reside in Silver City with my husband, Vern Laney. He's been my husband for 22 years, and our two children, Garrett and Shelby. I have more than 20 years' experience working in the magistrate court. I started as a clerk with Judge John Scholl in 1992, and I was promoted up through the ranks to court manager under Judge Ron Hall. I was elected to the office of magistrate and took the bench in 2011. This position is one that requires an extensive working knowledge of the laws and rules of procedure in both criminal and civil case types. My years of experience working in the court allowed me to take the bench in 2011 without missing a beat. Since taking office, I've been appointed to several committees by the New Mexico Supreme Court, including the Judicial Personnel Rules Committee, Magistrate Judges Retirement Committee, and Odyssey Judges User Group Committee, which establishes procedures utilized in the statewide automated case management system. In 2011, I was elected to the New Mexico Magistrate Judges Association Board of Directors, and I've held that position for the last 4 years. During my first year in office, I was also recruited by the Judicial Education Center of New Mexico to be a member of their training team, and I've since taught numerous workshops at our annual judicial conferences and have conducted online trainings as well. And just recently, I was selected to be a member of the Judicial Mentorship Program, and I'm currently assigned as a mentor to the new judge out of TRC. Locally, I'm a member of the Grant County Youth Advisory Committee, Grant County Health Council, and Kiwanis Club of Silver City. I believe it's important to continue to work towards improving our court and its ability to serve the community. Throughout my first term of office, I've been involved in the development of new programs which have increased the court's ability to offer more diverse sentencing options. We now have more options than ever available to us for sentencing, much more than just fines and jail. We now have options like supervised probation through county compliance or adult probation, drug court, treatment and counseling, as well as the recently developed GPS surveillance program. Having sentencing options is important because it allows me as a judge to impose a sentence that is meaningful, ensures safety of community, and promotes a change in behavior to reduce recidivism of defendants. The Silver City Magistrate Court is highly regarded as one of the best-run courts in the state of New Mexico. My staff is among the best there is. We share the common goal of offering the best customer service we can and ensuring the proper court procedures are followed at all times. Since taking office, my philosophy has not wavered. I still believe that a great judge must treat all those coming before him or her with dignity and respect. She should conduct herself both inside and outside of the courtroom with integrity and a strong sense of ethics. And finally, a great judge should make her decisions based solely on the evidence presented in court, combined with knowledge of the law, and delivered with good common sense. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Maureen Laney. And next, Lonnie Sandoval, Democratic candidate for Magistrate Judge in Division 2 and currently Chief of Police in Santa Clara.
Thank you again for having this for us so we can reach out to the people who we don't get to meet on a day-to-day basis. My name is Lonnie Sandoval. I am running for Magistrate Judge, Division 2 in Bayard. I am married. I have 5 children, and 3 of whom are still growing up here in Grant County. My wife, Anna Marie Minas, is a long life resident of Grant County. I myself have been here for the last 21 years. I started my career in Socorro, New Mexico, where I grew up. I attended Western New Mexico University and then began in law enforcement in 1989. With Socorro County Sheriff's Department. I realized that this was going to be a career for me and my family, so I decided to join the New Mexico State Police in 1992. I was fortunate that in 1992 to be stationed here in Grant County. My whole career in the State Police was dedicated to Grant County and the people of Grant County. I've been serving here for the last 18 and a half years. I was promoted in the state police to the rank of a sergeant, and I retired here in September of 2010. Shortly after that, I became the chief of Santa Clara, where I'm presently today. I believe that it is time for me to move on and become a judge within our community. I believe that my background in law enforcement, my background in community service to the people of Grant County is a great asset to becoming a judge. I see what they are going through as far as being victims within our community, and I believe that I can make a difference as being a judge. I have my children coming up and growing through the county and going through the court system, the school system, and that's very important to me. Right now I have a son who's just enlisted into the military, which I'm very proud of. He's in the Army, and that just shows that the people growing up in Grant County, we strive to do better and to serve our country, whether it's through the military or a public servant. So I'm passionate about my job and serving the people. And I want to continue that by being a judge. And I believe that with the opportunity, I can make a difference here in Grant County. So, thank you.
Thank you, Lonnie Sandoval, a candidate for Magistrate Judge Division 2, and also seeking, in this case, re-election as Magistrate Judge Division 2, Hector Grijalva, Democrat.
Thank you. Thank you for having us here this evening. I am Hector Grijalva. I am the current magistrate for Grant County Magistrate Court Division 2 in Bayard. I've been in that position since January of 2007. Prior to that, I was a municipal judge for the Village of Santa Clara from 2002 to 2007. I am a lifelong resident of Grant County, born and raised here. I'm a graduate of Coburn High School. I was employed by the New Mexico State Library from 1976 to 1981. I then became a member of the Carpenters Union Local number 1245 and attained my journeyman status and worked for various contractors throughout southern New Mexico up until my election as magistrate in 2007. I worked for Bechtel Corporation, Stearns Rogers, Southwest Industrial Contractors and Riggers, Tatch Construction, and last but not least, Grijalva Construction. I am a veteran, having served my country and state honorably for 31 years as a member of the New Mexico Army National Guard, along with a 15-month deployment in support of Operation Noble Eagle. I do come from a Gold Star and Purple Heart family. As a municipal and magistrate judge, I have attended various training provided through the Judicial Education Center from the University of New Mexico School of Law. I have also received training on various topics presented by the National Judicial College from Reno, Nevada. I've been a member of the New Mexico Municipal League, New Mexico Municipal Judges Association, the National Judges Association, and presently the New Mexico Magistrate Judges Association. I want to continue serving the people of Grant County in this capacity. When I first took this office in 2007, our caseload was between 1,000 to 1,300 cases. And since then, it's come up to between 2,500 to 3,000 cases annually, which is good. I attribute that to gaining the trust of all the agencies involved and them filing there at that court. I believe that their cases are processed efficiently. And then that's why I'm seeking this office. I want to continue serving in this capacity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hector Grijalva, candidate for re-election as Magistrate Judge Division 2. We have one candidate and, at this time, one probate judge, Belia Miranda, who is a Democrat and is unopposed, seeking re-election. Welcome.
Thank you. And also thank you for the invite. And my name is Belia Miranda, and I've been a resident of Grant County all my life. Can I make a comment here in the radio?
Of course, yes.
You can see my age, so you know how long of a resident, okay?
I haven't been trying to guess, but...
Great place to live. I have been divorced, a single mother, for many years. I have one daughter. She's in Arizona. And she's also with the court system. Seems like it was in my blood, passed it on to her. Okay. I have been working all my life, think when I graduated out of high school. And since I've been working, because, okay. So with that said, I started working with district court clerk. In 1970, I put in 34 years, very close to 35 years. Started and worked there for 22 years. After 22 years, I became the district court clerk, which is the keeper and holder of all of the records, assisting the judges. I worked for, I believe I counted 7 or 9 judges in my tenure. And I managed to hang on to my job, learning more and more. Then I became the, like I mentioned before, the clerk. I was the clerk for 13 years before I retired from the district court. Then it says, well, I am going to retire and I'm going to do anything. Needless to say, I'm still working. and came up this opportunity 3.5 years ago, and I was elected, and that was in 2010. I started my job with a probate judge in January of 2011, and I do have to say that I came in with vast experience, because 34 years working with the district courts gives me a high load of experience that I carry in my back. And with that, I says, if I win this election, which I did, I says, I think I can do good, because that experience will come in very, very handy. It sure has. I started working January of 2011. I've been there 3.5 years. And I say that I've done a super job. Why I say that? Because I've given it all I have. And with that experience that keeps hanging into me and getting more experience as far as court, I've done a great job. And it shows by not doubling in figures the number of cases, but it has become 1.5 times as much new cases and reopening cases. But what has been very impressive to me is that I have gotten, like I mentioned before, not double the case by new cases, but double the case with the public knowing that there is a judge there and long enough so that they can go in, not only 2 hours a week, not only 4 hours a week. No, as much as they need me, I've been there. With that said, I have had a lot of people in there, not to file a probate case, but they have many questions to ask. And I am there not to give them advice, because I am not allowed to give advice, but I direct them to the right procedure that they need to have their properties, their assets, everything. So when the time comes that nobody wants to think about it, of passing, they have their assets, their titles to the property, everything in place, as to where they don't even need to go into now my probate court, further on somebody else's. But if you have your business in order and very well titled, there's no need to do a probate. So I think I have been very fortunate to have as much experience, not on the probate court, but on the district court, which comes in neck to neck, one to the other, on other, well, you know, if they say, well, what's the question on this, what's the answer, and I can guide them to the right direction into the district court also. With that said, I said, as good as I've done, I'm in for re-election. I took the choice of, and I says, I don't know who's going to run with me, but I guess the word is very fortunate that I don't have an opponent. But I haven't laid low by not having an opponent. I've been showing my face around. And not only that, by putting signs, everything that needs to be done, talking to people, they know me, they know what I do. But with that said, and with this best experience that I come from, plus the one that I've gotten added to that, the 3.5 years that I've been in office, I say that I can continue giving to the residents of Grant County the very best of me, which I think I know the job fairly well. I have not missed a training, a conference. I have done everything that's beyond my reach to do better and better, because I see the need for people, especially older people, that don't have anybody to ask, what can I do? What is there that I can do? So that's where I'm there for. And I will continue giving the highest of my loyalty, honesty, integrity. And by all means, a judge has to be impartial, which there you have to keep your step on the ground, but just keep stepping. Don't move to one side or to the other, which is sometimes very hard to do, but you have to keep that in mind. But I am doing the best, and my promise to the Grant County residents is to continue with this good service so that they can count on a probate judge that can be there as often as they need it. Not 2 hours, not four, but as many hours as I'm needed, I'm there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Belia Miranda, probate judge. We'll have to go to a break shortly, but before we do that, I'd like to have answers to a broad question about each of these positions that I'm sure many of our listeners would like to hear. Let me begin with you and ask Probate Judge Belia Miranda, what is probate, and just briefly, what does a probate judge do?
Okay, the procedure that the probate judge has to take is when somebody goes in there, somebody passes away, and they don't know what's there, what they have to do. Okay, they tell me what is there, and the procedure is they file we open the case with the probate court. If there was a will, or if there's not a will, there's things that can be done better with a will. If not, then there is a procedure that the judge has to take to legally nominate a representative to take care of untitled property and monies in the bank that are just on their account. And the representation that's for the person that's appointed is a very legal procedure, and it's a hard job because sometimes it's not somebody from the family. It depends who you want to be your personal representative at the time you pass, and with having a will. Okay, with that said, we take it from there, and then there's the procedure that they have to follow if they're doing it on their own. They have two choices. You can get an attorney, and he takes care of the whole procedure for you. If you don't have the money or you don't want to get an attorney, you can't afford it, there is a pro se packet that the pro se persons can follow and do the packet on their own. I cannot help them. I am not able to help them, but I explain the procedure, and then we follow the procedure. They're able to title the real property to get the monies out of the bank, and that's a procedure.
Thank you very much. In a nutshell, you are the person responsible for making sure that all is done correctly with the property of a person who is deceased. That's what a probate judge does.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, we will go to a break, and when we come back, we will ask about the distinctions between the four different kinds of judges we've heard mentioned. Probate judge, of course, and that's just been clarified, but we've also heard the terms municipal judge, magistrate judge, and district court judge. And I imagine a lot of people are wondering, so I get a ticket, where am I going? Which of these three judges, how do they differ? We'll come back. Welcome back to Civil Discourse, a public affairs program of Gila Mimbres Community Radio. I'm Jamie Newton, and if you're just joining us, this special edition of Civil Discourse is a candidates roundtable with the three candidates for the office of magistrate judge and the one candidate for re-election as probate judge. We've heard opening statements, we have heard what a probate judge is, and now I want to ask the three candidates for magistrate judge, Divisions 1 and 2, to tell us what a magistrate judge is, what does she or he do, and how does that differ from what a district court judge or a municipal court judge does. Maureen Laney, let's start with you.
Okay, the magistrate court is the people's court, And it is a court of limited jurisdiction. It is not a court of record. That means we don't record our proceedings, okay? We handle a smorgasbord of cases. We handle civil cases. If one person needs to sue another for anything $10,000 or less, that comes to magistrate court. Landlord-tenant issues as well. Livestock cases, domestic violence cases, DWI cases, misdemeanor cases, as well as traffic cases. Now, the distinction is our cases are filed under a state statute or a county ordinance, whereas a municipal court, which is also a court of limited jurisdiction, their cases are filed under a city ordinance. Another distinction between municipal court and magistrate court is that we do hold jury trials, and municipal court does not, okay? We also handle felony cases at the beginning stages. And our job as a magistrate is to determine whether there's probable cause, which means is it likely that a felony was committed? And if so, is it likely that the accused is the one that did it? And after that process, if we find that, in fact, the state has met that burden, we transfer the case or bind it over to the district court. And that's what magistrate court judges do. And it is awesome. We also get to perform weddings, which is another plug for the job.
Thank you very much. Hector Grijalva, would you like to add anything to that?
I'd just like to add that mostly all cases come before magistrate court. They all come before magistrate court before they go to district court. And yes, she is right about the municipal court. They do handle, they go off the ordinances. The other difference is they can only go up to $999 in fines, okay, versus us, $1,000. There's a difference in the misdemeanors.
Thank you. And Lani Sandoval, would you like to add to this?
I would like to, but I believe they've covered it.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to pass the microphone on this side of the table to Nick Seibel, who will ask questions. Yes.
Okay, with me being the Grant County Probate Judge, my jurisdiction is very limited, considered to the district court judge. And to become a district judge, for the district court judges, you have to be an attorney. It's required. For Grant County Probate Judge, it's not required. And the level of cases is tremendously higher in district court. They not only have probate, but they have the criminal cases, the divorce cases, the civil cases, the juvenile cases, the adoption cases, children's cases, juveniles. And in my court, it's only probate. But if I get a case that somebody is contesting it, I am not able to continue. I have to transfer it to district court because I don't have the jurisdiction to hold hearings and all that big questioning and all like the district court judge does.
Thank you very much. Nick Seibel.
All right, questions. I'm interested, and I finally caught on to something that a couple of times in statements that I've heard, Judge Secretary Grijalva has mentioned the caseload going up in the court during his tenure in magistrate court. And I've been curious, where I thought, well, how could that possibly be a good thing to have your caseload go up? You would think that that would be the thing you wouldn't want to happen, to have more cases because that means more crime. But tonight I finally caught on to why that matters. And I'm wondering if maybe you can clarify that for me and talk about whether that's a good thing and why.
It matters because AOC looks at numbers.
Okay? And AOC is?
AOC is the Administrative Office of the Courts, our bosses in Santa Fe. They look at numbers. They also look at courts that for as a matter of shutting them down, okay, because of the caseload, which the one in Bayard has in the past. So it is important. The other thing that's important to look at is that, like I mentioned earlier, the agencies feel more comfortable, now filing more at that court than what they were filing in the past. That's the reason for the caseload going up.
And I guess that's the part that interests me is, so law enforcement officers, if they write a citation to someone, they get to pick which court they send people to? Anybody, feel free to jump in, anyone who wants to.
You're absolutely correct. The depending on the law enforcement agency, of course, the county and the state can go into any magistrate court they want. Also adjoining counties, they can cite into those counties as well. So the municipalities, of course, use their own judges to handle their court cases.
Interesting. See, something you learn something new every day.
Yeah, but you can get stopped by a state police, say, here in Silver City, and he can cite you to the Bayard Court. It's up to him.
Right.
Okay? That's just the way it works.
And so what are the parameters that law enforcement officers look at? I mean, do they feel like, well, this court is going to give me a better hearing, or something happens quicker if I send it to that court? What do you have any idea why that would change over time?
Yeah, there's a lot of different reasonings for the officers to go to different courts. One is location, for one. If he's living in Silver, he might go into the magistrate court here in Silver. Or while he's giving the citation, he might be, the violator might say, oh yeah, I want to go see Laney. And so the officer's thinking, well, wonder why. So then he goes, well, you're going to go to see, Judge Grijalva. So there's always different factors that play into it. But basically, they think about the cutoff line. Sometimes it's Arenas Valley, could be Silver. It just depends on where that officer's patrolling at. Could be in Cliff, could be in Mimbres. It just depends on where he wants to go. And that's really all it relies on.
I just wanted to respond by saying we have a very unique county, and we're one of the only counties in the state of New Mexico who actually has two magistrate judges in two different locations. In most counties, you have several, if it's a large county, you have several judges, but they're located in the same building. The reason it was designed this way is because Grant County is huge, and it makes more sense for someone who resides in Fayetteville or Mimbres, sometimes in Arenas Valley or Santa Clara or Bayard, to see a judge that's closer so they're not driving an hour to go to court whenever possible. And I just wanted to add that. I think that's important to look at it that way. I think most law enforcement look at it that way as well. It's more a matter of convenience. And I do believe that they have our caseloads, the Bayard Magistrate Court and the Silver City Magistrate Court caseloads are very similar now. And I think that's a good thing. I think that that's the way it was designed to be when the courts were made separate.
So I'm a little curious, and I think with Maureen Laney, I get a better feeling for how this works. But do you just wake up one morning and say, I want to be a magistrate judge? I mean, and I sort of understand if you've worked in the magistrate court for years, if you, or in the case of Velia Miranda, who's our probate judge, you've worked in district court, you know how this works, and you think, I could do that. But I'm a little curious for the two guys here, the two opponents. How did that happen? Like, when do you decide, and what does that process look like by which you say, oh, that's what I want to do?
Okay, I decided, like I mentioned earlier, I was a municipal judge for Santa Clara since 2000. And the reason I ran for that position, a lot of people confronted me, citizens of Santa Clara, when the election was going to come up, okay, in 1999. In 2000, usually in March. And so I decided if they have confidence in me, well, I'll run for the position. And so I did, and I won, and I've been there since. But along with that comes the judicial education, the training throughout the year, either here or out of town, wherever it may be. And I've just, I enjoy doing it.
So if you had to guess, why would people have asked you to run for judge? Because you didn't have a judicial background. Is it like, you walk to people and say, oh, I didn't see you in church on Sunday? I don't really know if that shirt really matches your eyes very well. I mean, how did they think, you know, this guy right here, he's the guy that should be a judge?
I'm very easygoing. I know everybody. They know me. I guess that's explains it.
All right. It's Hector Yahava and Ronnie Sandoval.
For me, it's being in the career of law enforcement for, I'm in my 25th year now, and going through the years of law enforcement and seeing how things transpire within the court system, I felt that it was time for me to take the next step. You know, I've been in the business for a long time. I'm always getting updates through the internet on trying to keep up with the laws and the Court of Appeals and what's being handed down. You know, continuous training is a big deal, not only for being a judge, but for being a police officer, because he's going to try and enforce those laws. So I came to a point in my career where I wanted to impose the law instead of enforce the law. And I want to make the difference at the court level, because at my level where I'm at now, I see the same thing as the regular people see. You know, the victims or the criminals, we go to court, and whether or not justice is served, you know, properly within the victim's sense or the criminal sense. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we think, not only in law enforcement but as a victim, that the crimes that are being committed aren't getting the sentencing that we think they deserve. So the leniency or the favoritism, whatever you may call it, is one of the reasons why I decided I want to become a judge. I want to be able to impose the law and give the fair judgment that I think they deserve and that the people would hopefully be happy with. So that's why I wanted to be a judge.
So from your perspective, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you think people are getting off too easy? Is that what I'm hearing there?
I'm not saying they're getting off too easy. I think it's happening. Mm-hmm. But like Judge Laney said, there is a bunch of diverse options that we have as a judge, if I was to be a judge, to use. But I, too, get approached by the public and telling me, you know, we're not getting the justice. Or we always see favoritism, or we see leniency going on in the courts. And are you going to be like that? They ask me. I say, no, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be fair and firm, but I'm going to be consistent, and I'm going to be giving out whatever judgment it is fairly so that everybody's treated the same. So there isn't, you won't get that type of feeling when you go to court. So that's, for me, that's why I wanted to come in and be a judge, so that I can have that responsibility, because it's a big responsibility. It is. You know, it's just like being an officer. However, I have the experience and the background and having to deal with the people and both sides, criminal and the victims, that I can make that decision. And that's why I wanted to be a judge.
There you go. Thoughts? Anyone else?
I would love to tell you why I became a judge, because I was very happy being a clerk and a court manager, and I loved that position. But what I loved was the court itself. I was so fortunate to have worked for two great judges, John Scholl and Ron Hall. And Ron Hall asked me, whenever he was getting ready to retire, if I would consider running, because we both cared a great deal for the integrity of the court, and we wanted to see that it maintained that same sense of integrity. And I was very honored to be asked, prayed about a year for it, and was so honored to get the position.
Very good.
Let me ask a follow-up question.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the people who sent a question in from the community wanted to know, beyond fairness, even-handed treatment, being equitable, what else makes a good judge? And what would you hope to accomplish during your term in office? And I think this is directed toward the candidates for magistrate judge. Judges, we can tell from what you three have said, candidates for magistrate judge, have a certain amount of discretion in response to a conviction, in the way that you handle allegations,
You've said that you're the first evaluator of the conditions that are brought to you. What's the likelihood that a crime has been committed, and is there plausible evidence that this is the person? What are the qualifications beyond being fair and even-handed of a good judge? Lonnie Sandoval, you look like you're ready to answer that.
And I would. You got to have integrity, strong ethics. Got to be honest, not only to yourself but to the people. You have to be able to sit there and make a judgment on just the facts and the merits of the case. So it's something that takes a lot of courage to be a judge. And to be able to impose the law fairly is very admirable. So for me, all that comes into play. It's what I've been instilled for the last 25 years, 24 years. I'm in my 25th year now. You know, integrity and honesty and your ethics on and off the job. We live in a glass house, and we're judged by our people. It is a people's court. So how can we go in and judge if we're not being ethical ourselves?
Thanks, Lonnie Sandoval. And Hector Grijalva, opposing Lonnie Sandoval for the same office. What does it take to be a good judge?
Okay, one of the things that it takes is just plain common sense. Knowing when to do the right thing. No, there's no two cases that are the same. You got to look at all cases on their separately. You can't have two cases that are the same thing. If you make this decision for one case, you're going to make the same one on this other one. It doesn't work that way. You got to look at it, each case as it comes to you. So that's what it takes, is common sense.
Thank you. And Maureen Laney, to be a good judge.
Okay, well, I will certainly mirror the comments that both gentlemen just gave. And I would add to that it takes a lot of hard work and dedication. You have to realize you are a public servant 24/7. You never turn off. And you have to be enthusiastic about the law and all of its changes, because it changes regularly. You have to be willing to study and read all of the time to stay up on those changes so that you are making good and correct decisions from the bench.
Thank you. Nick, one more question before we go to break. Belia Miranda.
To add to the rest of the judges, what you as a judge have to keep in mind when you were sworn in, you took the oath that you would be very fair and impartial. And you have to keep that in mind. And if you keep that in mind, it guides you through the right road, because there's no way that you can step out either side, left or right, like I mentioned before. Just keep in mind when you were taking that oath what you saw, and it helps.
So there's a question, lots of great questions submitted here, but there's one I want to ask, because we have two candidates here that have experience in judicial administration, and they won't be at the next forum that I get to go to. So I want to ask this question now because I'm really interested to hear their answer. But we had someone submit a question. They wanted to know, how can the cost of judicial administration be decreased? So I'm just curious, is that a thing that's possible, and how might we do that? Or do we even want to?
I guess I'll start this one. That is a great question. The magistrate judges do not maintain their own budget. Municipal court does, district court does. Magistrate budgets are handled through the administrative office of the courts, and the money that's provided to the magistrate courts is decided upon by the legislature. Our greatest costs in the magistrate courts are leases. And so I think if you were going to look anywhere to try to cut costs for judicial administration, you would have to look to leases. And I can tell you, our legislators have been doing so. The magistrate courts work as cost-effectively as we can as a collective bunch. For example, if a clerk leaves a position, we currently have to hold that position vacant for 6 months just to save the costs of that salary. I personally do not turn the lights on in my office. We cut corners every which way that we can. We, at our magistrate court, try very hard not to have to mail out notices or have them personally served by the sheriff whenever possible. And the way that we do that is when someone comes in, say, on a pretrial conference, when that is complete, if there needs to be a follow-up setting, we set it immediately, we hand them their notice. And even those little things can save on our budgets. I wish I could say we had a bit more control. We do not. And when you're in a large group of about 58 magistrate courts, every little penny counts. But leases is our biggest cost, by far.
So you're saying that that thing that we're so happy about, that we have two different magistrate judges in two different locations in the county, if we were really going to cut costs, probably consolidating them into one building would be the way to do that.
That's been looked at before. But again, if you look at the size of our community, it was decided by our legislature in their wisdom, and I agree with him, that that is not a good idea for this county in particular.
Hey, yeah.
As a probate judge, I realize I don't work the 40 hours a week. I do a lot of work at home, and that's telephone. I don't get people in my house, but I interview them. But to say what is being questioned here, I have saved the county some money because I could have asked for a part-time clerk, even for the clerk that would be hired to work the short hours that I work as far as weekly. I do everything on my own. I have not asked for increase in the budget on my area, and all the other, there's many judges. How many areas do we have that have a probate judge here? Las Cruces has a clerk. They work a few more hours than I do, or a few more days, I should say. But I have done without a clerk, and I do everything on my own.
Gentlemen, I think I'm going to ask you to respond to this question if you want to when we come back from break as part of your closing statements. We'll be back. If you're just joining us on Civil Discourse, we are concluding our hour of Candidates Roundtable with candidates for judicial offices in the primary election. We'll go now to closing statements, and this we will do in the reverse order of our opening statements. I'd like to begin with Probate Judge Belia Miranda. What can you tell us in 2 minutes as a closing statement?
I am just asking all the Grant County residents to go out and vote. And of course, I am asking for their vote, even though I am unopposed. And I hope I have done what they expected of me. And I had a commitment with them when I ran my last election. I made a commitment that I would do the job, and not just do the job, do it to the very best that I could, attend all the trainings, which I have. And I says, I guarantee you that I will not fail you because I have enough experience in my back that's going to help me out, and it has. And with that, I do the same offer to continue doing the job even better, going out of my way, which I do, and I have all this experience that is still there. Nobody has taken it away, and I can add a little bit more to it because I have been your Grant County probate judge for the last 3.5 years, and I am very committed to you, and I will continue. Even though I don't have an opponent, I do want for you to vote for me again. Thank you.
Thank you, Belia Miranda. And seeking re-election as Magistrate Judge Division 2, Hector Grijalva.
Thank you. Okay, I feel confident that with all the years that I spent on the bench, along with all the years of the judicial education that I have received, validates me to continue serving the people of Grant County in this capacity. Therefore, I'm asking for their vote and support on June 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you, Hector Grijalva. And also seeking the position of Magistrate Judge Division 2, Lonnie Sandoval.
I feel that my experience in law enforcement and living in the community and seeing it on a day-to-day basis of what's going on, that I bring a vast experience to the bench. I can judge fairly, firmly, and consistently. So I am asking for the people of Grant County for their Democratic vote, because this is a countywide election. And a lot of people, I think, are misunderstood because the position is in Bayard and not in Silver. So it's important that they all come out and vote. So look for my name. It's Lonnie Alexander Sandoval on the ballot, and it's first on the ballot. I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lonnie Sandoval, candidate for Magistrate Judge Division 2, and Maureen Laney, currently judge, running unopposed for re-election as Magistrate Judge Division 1.
Again, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to speak to the people and also to hear some of the questions that have been posed. That's been a phenomenal opportunity. I am so grateful for the position. I am committed to serving the next 4 years. I do not believe in sitting still. I will continue going forward, trying always to improve the court and ensure that our citizens are getting the best service possible from my court. Thank you very much, and I would really appreciate your votes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maureen Laney. Thanks to all four of you for coming to our Candidates Roundtable on Gila Mimbres Community Radio, helping us to educate our listeners, voters. Thanks to Nick Seibel for this first hour. He'll be back in the second hour, as will our studio engineer, Kyle Johnson. Thank you. And in that second hour, we will have the candidates for Grant County Assessor with us. Stay tuned to Gila Mimbres Community Radio.